This is an I Am Listening podcast.
It may well and should stop housing being built in places where there isn't enough water supply or sewerage provision, or it would require the builders to set aside money under what's called a Section 106 agreement so that new infrastructure can be built and that they'll have to contribute to the cost of that. Or it will mean so that the housing development instead happening in places where there is plentiful supply of water.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, and here's your weekly roundup of the county's political news. In Medway, a campaign to stop houses being built on an orchard is back in motion after a scoping opinion for 825 homes on the controversial plot was sent to Medway Council. The land off Pump Lane in Raynham was the subject of a previous application in 2019 when AC Gotham & Son applied to build 1,250 homes on the 51-hectare site. The town's planning committee refused the bid and it was taken to appeal where the authority spent £250,000 in legal costs defending their decision. Ultimately, they were successful and the homes weren't built. However, last year a huge blow came for those campaigning to retain the orchard when Medway Council included the land in its draft local plan and allocated it for housing. Around the same time last year, Esquire Developments held some public consultation events in Raynham where they asked for feedback on proposals for up to 750 homes with the intention of making an application sometime later. Now, the Longfield-based developer has submitted a request for a scoping opinion for 825 homes, basically asking the council what information it will need to provide to make a proper application for the site. The Save Our Orchards campaign originally formed to fight the 2019 application and intends to fight on against this application and the site's inclusion in the draft local plan for housing. They don't think the impact of such a development on traffic, GP services and other infrastructure has been properly considered, especially alongside all the other ones already in the pipeline for the area. They're supported by Gillingham and Raynham MP Nashaba Khan, who said the same problems which caused the original application to be refused still exist. She has also questioned why the Pump Lane land was included in the local plan at such a late stage in the process. Officers are currently considering the request for a scoping opinion and hearings for Medway's local plan are due to take place next month. And staying with Medway Council, the unitary authority is to write to the government asking for support as it battles to fund huge increases in social care costs. Leader Councillor Vince Mabel has revealed the authority is spending more than £1 million a day on people who need support. And he says more than £5 million a year is being spent helping just 15 vulnerable individuals who have complex needs. The decision to approach Health and Social Care Secretary Yvette Cooper comes as the council faces increasing challenges. Just 3 months into the financial year, it is already facing an overall overspend of £42.83 million, according to Cabinet papers. Here's Councillor Maple.
We are working through the Financial Improvement and Transformation Plan, as we have been for the last couple of years. We can see from the Cabinet report that's delivered £70 million of savings already. But we know there's more to do. We know particularly with adult social care, there are some specific challenges. We as a council are below the national average spend when it comes to that, and we're also getting below the average from the NHS as well. So my colleague, the deputy leader, will be writing along with council officers to the Secretary of State, both for health and social care but also local government, to say we need to have a conversation about this. I think that's to be welcomed, and I think Medway residents would expect us to be making those representations to central government. You just have to look at the level of adult social care pressure. We can see that particularly over the last 12 months that's gone up. You just have to look, for example, at our 15 highest individual spends for individual residents, and we want to support every resident who needs adult social care. The cost of that is over £5 million a year just for 15 individuals. And as we've spoken about before, we spend more than £1.35 million every single day on adult social care, children's social care and temporary accommodation. Now, those three areas were talked about at the Cabinet tonight. We're in quarter one, there's more work to do, and we're not complacent about that. We're working hard, working closely with officers and others, But we've also said we're going to specifically write to government on the issue of adult social care.
Opposition leader Tory councillor George Perfect believes the council's financial position is untenable.
Well, look, it's a complete shambles. We're really concerned. You know, nearly £50 million projected overspend in year that the administration seem to be adamant that they're going to be able to get down through management action. Well, we've got a whole load of concerns about why the gap in this year's budget is nearly as large as some of the entire budgets as some of the other district councils in North Kent. Demand seems to be out of control. The administration appears to have got its modelling all wrong. We still don't have answers really as to why that gap has grown to that level. And of course, we've got significant concerns that if the government don't provide a further exceptional financial support in order to underwrite this gap, we'll have to end up with a Section 114 notice because the council does not have the reserves in order to cover that overspend.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
There are growing calls for Kent's major water supplier to have a legal say in massive new housing developments. There is cross-party agreement that South East Water should become a statutory consultee in determining large-scale planning applications. The debate was sparked by the Liberal Democrat leader of the opposition at Kent County Council, Councillor Anthony Hook, during a recent scrutiny committee meeting. He and others want water suppliers and sewage companies to be part of the wider conversation on house building. At the moment, the water company can comment on a council's wider local plan, which sets out how many new homes will be built over a set period. But it cannot share views on planning applications. With South East Water already warning it will only be able to supply just one third of the near 20,000 homes planned in the Tunbridge and Morling Borough in the next 16 years, clearly something needs to change. Councillor Hook explains more.
At the moment, when builders apply for permission to build new houses, they have to go through a detailed planning process, and a number of organisations are what are called statutory consultees. That means they have to be consulted about the planning application. One of the statutory consultees is Kent County Council, and they're consulted about highways issues, and they will also express views on things like whether there's enough educational provision in the area where new housing is going to be built, whether there's other types of social infrastructure like that. What we're suggesting, and others have suggested too, is that water companies should become statutory consultees, so that the planning process should have to consult water companies on whether the infrastructure in that area is sufficient, whether they'll be able to supply good drinking water to new houses that are proposed to be built and provide sewerage infrastructure too. Now, at the moment, water companies could choose to do that voluntarily, but making them statutory consultees will give them a improved status in the planning process and would also really mean that they have to do that and have to express a view based on evidence as to whether the planning that's proposed, the housing development that's proposed, is compatible with the water supply in that area.
Is there a concern that it would act as an extra barrier to developments receiving approval? You know, at the moment, you know, we've got these house building targets that we need to meet. It's already difficult to find appropriate areas to build the large amount of housing that we do need to provide. Is there a concern that this would just be an extra roadblock to getting new houses built?
There's an intention that it would be a roadblock to getting inappropriate houses built. It's exactly that. It would provide an extra layer of protection against excessive house building in areas where there's insufficient water supply. That's exactly the point. And it may well and should stop housing being built in places where there isn't enough water supply or sewerage provision, or it would require the builders to set aside money under what's called a Section 106 agreement so that new infrastructure can be built and that they'll have to contribute to the cost of that. Or it will mean to the housing development instead happening in places where there is plentiful supply of water.
In the meantime, we're all sweltering in the heat as a drought is officially declared in Kent following the driest July since records began. Maidstone Council leader Stuart Jeffrey of the Green Party has been explaining how his authority is tackling some of the challenges this summer. Here he is.
I mean, clearly, the climate emergency is here with us right now. At Maidstone Borough Council, we take that really seriously. So we have both a plan to reduce our carbon emissions, but also to adapt to the changing climate, which means we're planting trees, for example, in the town centre to reduce the temperatures. We're looking at our parks and thinking, how safe are they in terms of wildfires? So we're working with Kent Fire and Rescue to make sure to review access so that if they do catch a light, we can get the fire engines there quickly. And we're doing other things such as supporting the rivers in particular, which are running desperately low at the moment. So there's a range of things we're doing, particularly around drought, and the heat as well is a real problem. So we've recently reissued the call places that we have in the town. So I think we've got five call sites for people who are struggling in the heat to go along. These are air-conditioned places, such as our community arts hub, that they can go to. They can sit down in the cool and feel a bit better, because clearly the heat is going to hurt a lot of people, and it kills people. There were the previous heat waves took, I think, 3,000 lives earlier this year. So we are worried people are dying as a result of this.
And finally, the last word should really go to Gillingham and Raynham MP Nushaba Khan, who turned a barrage of racist abuse on its head by telling trolls demanding she go home, "I already am, it's Gillingham." She shared a video reacting to horrific racist comments, among them one telling her to go back to her ancestral land. Now, the Labour MP was born at the former All Saints Hospital in Chatham, grew up in Gillingham, and like me, attended Fort Pitt Grammar School in Chatham. She said one of the comments she had received included someone telling her, "You're not one of us." "Well, you're right, Dave," said Nushaba. "I'm not from Yorkshire. I'm actually from Gillingham, babes, and I'm pretty proud of it." That's it for another week. You can find more at our politics page at Kent Online. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And tune in to KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.